Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week, the Prime Minister's been at the United Nations meeting with world leaders and pushing the case for a free trade deal with the United States. She's also been furthering the Christchurch call to try and stop the spread of hate speech online. I also asked Minister Little about the voting age and New Zealand's outdated surrogacy laws. Have a listen.
Firstly, I thought we'd better talk about what the Prime Minister's been up to. She's been at the United Nations. You've been back here in New Zealand, so what's your observations been on how it's all gone?
I think it's gone very well for her. I mean, there are a number of things she had to do following up the Christchurch call. And, you know, she had an amazing audience there of the heads of the tech companies, or in the case of Facebook, I think it was Sheryl Sandberg, but and senior political leaders, people like Angela Merkel, Mahendra Modi, you know, various others, including a whole bunch of new countries have come on board to work with the tech companies about making it a safer environment for people. So that's been very successful. She spoke at the Climate Change Action Summit that was on the fringe of the General Assembly. Obviously, Greta Thunberg took the world attention there, but I think Jacinda Ardern was able to put into perspective what it is that New Zealand is doing and put the call out to others as well that, you know, for a small country like ours, what we do might not make a huge difference, but it's important that we're all you know, pulling in the same direction with the same objective and with a sense of urgency. She made her address to the General Assembly. She had a meeting with Donald Trump. I know how much work goes into planning the whole trip and a single day like that, and it is a phenomenal amount that she has achieved in the days she's been there.
Yeah, for sure. And on the subject of Greta Thunberg, I wanted to ask you, what was your reaction? I mean, it seemed like her speech basically has dominated media coverage since she gave it. What were you touched by what she had to say?
Yeah, I think, look, she's an amazing voice, a young voice at the right time. It is that whole thing about, you know, we're at a point in our history, in our scientific history, where attitudes have to change. I mean, practical action has to be taken and everybody's kind of working out what to do. But this sense of kind of political hesitancy, and that this is still a matter for public debate, I think, you know, she's challenged that, and it needed to be. And she carries, you know, she carries legitimacy. She's unsettled by, you know, previous actions and all the rest of it that politicians typically are. And it was a very powerful moment in the debate about climate change and getting on and doing meaningful stuff about it.
If I'm correct, on the Christchurch call, the US still hasn't signed up to that. Does that mean it maybe has less impact than it would otherwise, considering the state the US is in with gun laws and with terrorism?
No, it doesn't. And actually, and the US has explained this. Look, they have they are limited in what they can do legislatively. The Constitution, the First Amendment, says that there shall be no law abridging the right to freedom of speech. That pretty much means that Congress can't do a great deal. What they can do, and that what they do is work with the tech companies and the those social media platforms on the internet. And in fact, they're doing that in other areas as well. So I was in London earlier this year and met with William Barr, the Attorney General. They are working with those companies on the fact that criminal elements and organised crime are using encrypted technologies on social media platforms. Now, there are a lot of benefits to encryption, but it also conceals a lot of criminal activity, and they're working with the tech companies to find a way that the bad guys don't kind of get to use those platforms to conceal their criminal activity. They can't legislate around it. They have to negotiate it. And the assurance the US has given New Zealand and Jacinda Ardern is that, of course, they want to do their bit, but it means that their constitution means that they can't legislate for what could amount to restrictions on freedom of speech. So, I mean, I know the National Party is beating this drum that unless the US is there, then it's not worth doing anything. They've completely missed the point. And actually, they're just plainly wrong. And the fact that more countries are signing up to it, because the reality is a whole bunch of people, and it's actually a lot of young people who are finding some of their experiences on social media platforms pretty darn unpleasant as they see threats marginalisation, hate speech, and those other things. And actually, it's just about cleaning up the environment, the environment of discourse. And we need to do that.
President Trump described his meeting with Prime Minister Ardern as wonderful. We got a famous Trump tweet, which is good to see.
Yeah.
Do you think we're any closer to getting that free trade agreement? Have you heard anything about that?
Haven't heard anything specifically about that. But look, it's always important. I've always maintained, regardless of who is in office, whether in the White House or the Beehive, that we maintain a positive relationship with the US. They are, you know, like it or like them or love them. They are an important country in the world. The politics aside, they have very strong academia, very strong institutions. They play an important role economically and commercially in the world. So it makes sense for us to have as positive a relationship as we can with them. So look, it's good that Jacinda Ardern and Donald Trump were able to have a positive discussion and a positive dialogue. President Trump is following a different kind of line of policy than previous presidents. He's very much into bilateral arrangements as opposed to multilateral arrangements. He doesn't believe in kind of multilateral and multi-country kind of agreements and arrangements. But we stand in a queue with many others to try and get a trade agreement with the US.
Should the Prime Minister have pushed him more on climate policy, do you think?
Well, I don't know the detail, if any, of what was exchanged on that particular issue, but let's be brutally honest here. This is a guy who's pulled his country out of the Paris Climate Agreement, who has pretty much rolled back their Environmental Protection Agency in every meaningful sort of way. Recently took federal action against the state of California and its efforts to set higher emission standards for motor vehicles manufactured there than the federal standards. So entering a discussion with President Trump about, like, so really, what are you going to do about climate change, wasn't going to be particularly fruitful. And given that she had 25 minutes, she was better to focus on the things that were going to bear fruit rather than the things that weren't going to lead nowhere.
Moving on, in the past few weeks there's been a lot of talk about the voting age thanks to this youth movement Make It 16. What's your personal view on dropping the voting age down?
Look, I don't have a strong view one way or the other. I know I'm pretty sure it's Labor Party policy. I tried to check out before this interview because I know there have been debates at the party there. And look, and I know why there's a movement seeking it, and particularly in the context of climate change and the fact that it's their generation who have got 60, 70, 80 years ahead of them who are going to have to be living with the consequences of either what we do or don't do. So I totally get that. I guess what I was surprised about is they've gone off to the High Court to do some sort of action. I don't know if they're seeking a declaration, but the interesting thing is that the voting age is one of those things that's very clearly laid out in our Electoral Act about how you go about changing it. And there's only one of two ways. You either have a referendum, which means that, all the people 18 and over get to vote on whether 16-year-olds get to vote, or you've got to have a 75% majority in Parliament agreeing to that change. So I'm not quite sure what the High Court stuff is going to do with it. They are better. Those who are agitating for it are better to do the hard yards of organising grassroots, broad political action to achieve that sort of change.
So what way would you vote if it came down to a parliamentary vote?
To be honest, Stuart, I'm not sure. I haven't given it a lot of thought. I mean, I'm in my 50s and I kind of think, I'm unfortunately starting to think like a guy in his 50s and thinks, well, it was good enough for me, so it's good enough for them. On the other hand, my sense is that younger people, and I've got an 18-year-old son who I think, he's engaged in politics, not to the extent I was at his age, because he's interested in other things, but I see him and his mates, and I think they are more literate about issues of the day, and including political issues, than possibly even I was, and certainly my contemporaries were at that sort of age. So, I need to think more carefully about it. I'm not opposed to it. I just haven't thought whether I'd vote for it at this point.
And very quickly, finally, before we run out of time, it's something I've wanted to talk to you about for a few weeks, and that is our surrogacy laws in New Zealand. Is this still something you're committed to seeing changed?
Yeah, there is. Look, I get a bit of correspondence about it, and I know Lewis Waugh, my colleague, and Tamati Coffey are both very keen on seeing change happen. One of the things I am about to start work on, or at least the Ministry of Justice will, is on our Adoption Act. It's 1955. It hasn't changed much since that time. It's one of the biggest impediments to effective regime for surrogacy. And so the issue about a good framework for surrogacy, I think, will be end up being swept up in what we would do with adoption. But that's another year or so away before anything gets churned out of the policy making and law drafting process. But I'm committed to seeing change there. I know Louisa has a members bill with a law ready to go. She's consulting over that at the moment with other political parties. It's something we do need to get right. I think the challenge is we don't want to turn either sperm, eggs or fetuses into chattels, but we do need to be open and have an open and transparent arrangement so people know, who their biological parents are, that arrangements made are entered in good faith and for good reason, and that people are protected. And we've got to try and find the balance in a new law that does that.
Yeah, and it is such a huge issue. I'm sure we'll be talking about it again in weeks and months. Indeed. Thank you very much, Minister. We'll talk again soon.
Cheers.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.